Rongo Māori's been in the spotlight, and we're talking about, you know, how it can be utilised in the prison system. Te Aroha Williams is a Rongo Māori practitioner based there in Tamaki Makaurau. Hey, Te Aroha, tēnā koe, it's me, Dale. Thank you for joining us on Wātea.
Kia ora, Dale.
Thank you. Look, I think it's a given. Many of our people on the inside, I think, would be strengthened by this proud Māori approach to whole water. For those who may not understand of Rongoā on the inside, why is it important, particularly for our people who are in prison, who may be disconnected from our culture and our identity, whānau, and well-being? Can you tell us what is available to them now and how we can strengthen the availability of Rongoā Māori on the inside, if you will, please, Te Aroha?
Ka pai. The biggest thing I've seen coming in, especially into Tamaki Makaurau, is like what you're saying, is disconnection, lack of identity. You know, some tāne come in that don't even know they can't even say their pepeha, or, you know, totally disconnected. And it's just going back to the basics of, you know, in the media currently, we've been hearing a lot about Rongoā Māori being massage, where it's so different. That's not even what Rongoā is, because Rongoā is all about well-being, and it's holistic. It's looking at everything. So it's just connecting them and back through our traditional teachings. What I focus on in prison is just listening. So I'll go over a little bit of what I do in here, but a lot of it isn't actually doing the services, it's actually giving them the mātauranga to do it for themselves. So I'm giving them the knowledge of teaching them how to do some romi-romi, teaching them how to do plant medicine, going into wānanga with them about karakia, takutaku, the history, the whakapapa of Rongoā, and also looking at, you know, giving that awareness around their own emotions, where it's held, whakapapa trauma, where it's come from, who it come, you know, why it's there. So it's really in depth of what you can do in here and how it can reconnect them back. And it's not just Rongoā Māori as well, it's like culture, reconnecting culture in general. So I don't just work, but Rongoā Māori can weave into any space. In the community or in Te Whare Here Here in the prison as well. So you won't see me in one space, you'll see me everywhere because you can infiltrate wherever. So like you'll see me in the wings teaching, you'll see me in, you know, health, you'll see me in mental health, you'll see me with the culture team. And that's where the beauty of this mahi works.
Tēnā koe, Te Aroha. You know, I sense it would be very important and uplifting for many of our people lost, even though the walls surround them. So I'm mihi to you and the mahi that you do. How many Rongoā practitioners have been given the green light to work in our prison system? And how accepting has corrections been to having Rongoā programs on the inside, Te Aroha?
That one's a little bit harder. So, like, it was piloted, and I know in a couple of prisons. The one in particular that I'm at is private, and I'm given a bit more freedom. And you know what? Sadly, you know, I've seen corrections. I've seen them work for the last few years, trying to get this up and running and doing a lot of groundwork to try and get this up and running, and then they get the contracts out and then it was just cut. So I do know there was a couple of teams in other prisons, and I'm not too sure of the numbers in those ones. The one I'm at, it's just me, but I work with a team like around me, even though I'm just doing Rongoā, there's other people around me that support. Does that answer?
Yeah, it does. I can imagine too that not every prison is going to have a Rongoā Māori kaimahi. But you know, if the need is there, then as a people, we should be pushing for its availability. And that's why we have a tautoko, the work that you're doing, because it could have a very meaningful impact. Might you share an example of how you've worked with one of our whānau on the inside, and it's been very meaningful engagement, and has helped to strengthen them, because we know that a lot of our whānau on the inside have come from really traumatic situations. And, you know, what's our role as a people? It's to support each other. Is there an example you might share how this approach has worked to uplift?
One example I can think of, you know, there's been a few, but this is one that kind of sticks out of my head. There was one guy who was high class, very, you know, must have been around 30, mid-30s, very volatile, angry, just whenever you'd hear him every time he was near you, because if he was in a cell, it was, he was going off, you know, banging, yelling. And I remember the first time, I think he was up in house and I could hear him banging the walls from the outside, and I saw him and I'm like, wow. And I didn't engage with him at that time. But later on, it must have been a few months later, I started to engage with him, just talk with him. Very reactive. And I just started, I actually didn't, my sessions with him really were just talking. It wasn't about body work. Like, rongoā can be anything. Rongoā can be kōrero, and we just, he just needed to talk and for someone to listen. And I suppose because he was, you know, if a normal person saw him, they probably wouldn't want to engage with him because of how he seemed and how he looked. And he won't get a lot of referrals to other people because he was so volatile. But that's where the beauty of rongoā, you can, it's easier to connect with your own people, you know. And I engaged with him over a few months and, you know, maybe once a fortnight. And, you know, slowly got him into karakia. He was quite disconnected to Māori, love Māori, but quite disconnected. He'd done 10 years. Just we started doing little things like learning karakia, talking about trauma, talking about anything, but getting in the depths. And I started doing body work on him as well. And I actually copped quite a flack, like a lot of flack, because of his class. Sometimes they get, because of who you're working with and the class you're working with, sometimes they get, you know, the system can get a bit edgy about that. But over time, the emotional regulation, that's what I noticed, and other people noticed. He could walk places without going off. He could communicate better without going off. He asked me to be in his parole hearing. I went to his parole, and I didn't intend to engage. It was just to be there as in presence, to support. And he did the karakia, opening and closing, and he was able to communicate and sit through this parole hearing. He had been to many parole hearings, and he had never sat through a whole one, because every other time he'd gone off, told everyone to get effed, and walked out of there. And even the officers that were in there at the time were blown away by how what they were seeing. And I suppose for me, like, that's a success, just seeing him being able to do that without, you know, these growth. And just because, like, they do a lot of healing, they can do healing, I believe they can do healing. It doesn't mean they're going to change overnight either, though. It's bringing awareness, because it's going to be back and forth. They can't change like that, you know, and that's another thing that I know we have to remember.
Yeah. Thanks very much for our brief kōrero today, and we have to keep it brief because the news is going to roll in a moment, Tauroha.
Yeah.
You know, stand proud of the mahi that you do and the advocacy you provide. If our rongoā is an approach that's helping our people to grow in confidence, then, you know, let's ensure that it's available to all on the inside and outside. I've got a lot of respect for people who advance the concepts of lungua, which, as you mentioned, comes in many forms. Thank you for sharing some kōrero with us today, albeit briefly. Mauri ora kia koe te tuhine. Tēnā koe, and thank you so much, Tauranga.
Ka pai tēo, thank you.
Tēnā koe, thank you.